This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Julian. 7.35 in the morning, Monday the 2nd of March. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Johaba Sadiq, editor of the Malaysian Insight, as well as Professor Dr. Mohd Tajuddin Mohd Razdi, professor of architecture at UCSI University and social commentator. Because over the weekend, as we were speaking about with Sabrina Magdalene earlier, we saw Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin being sworn in as the new Prime Minister of Malaysia. So what might the future of his leadership look like? And where does Pakatan Harapan go from here? For all of those speaking clarity, tune into The Breakfast Grill with Johaba Sadiq and Professor Dr. Tajuddin for a deeper dive into the significance of all of these latest developments. Now, in the meantime, while we have been quite laser-focused on the political discord here in Malaysia, the coronavirus continues to rage on internationally. And this has had serious implications for global economic growth, which had already been hampered by the trade war.
Last week, new coronavirus cases started to rise faster outside of China than within. The large scale of the outbreak had caused production disruptions and warnings of hits to earnings for companies like Apple and Hyundai.
The virus has now spread to over 65 countries, dashing hopes of a quick recovery from the epidemic. And the IMF in January had put its forecast global growth at 3.3%, but some economists are now projecting sub-0 3%. Four of the world's top 12 economies, representing about 27% of global GDP, are scrambling to contain the virus. The fifth, Germany, is teetering already on the brink of a recession.
So for more on this morning we have on the line with us Waqas Adinwala, Asia analyst at the EIU. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Waqas. Now, given the trajectory of the outbreak, some are speculating that a global recession may come soon. Do you share this view?
Hi, good morning. So we do agree that, yes, a lot of big economies in the world are definitely going to go through a slowdown. A recession may be seen in a lot of countries as well, but we don't see a global recession at large. Yes, the dominant effect of China slowing down, that impacting countries like South Korea, Japan, and obviously the EU blocs, and because of their own fundamental weaknesses, because of the trade war and its lingering effects from last year, the slowdown is on the cards, yes. A global worldwide recession, not yet as such.
And what do you think of this? These hits to the production supply chain, would it have the kind of domino effect that would lead to a kind of contagion effect within the global economy?
Oh, absolutely, because China is not just the exporter of the large number of goods, it also imports a lot of raw materials from other parts of the world, such as Australia and Malaysia, or even Indonesia, which are commodity producers. So the supply chain, in effect, is going to disrupt exporters and importers all around the world, in the region specifically, but even places as far-flung because of China's global dominance in the world.
And in the meantime, there's been lots of comparisons of COVID-19 with that of SARS, especially the recovery, with some analysts expecting a V-shaped one. Do you think it could be worse this time, though?
So again, yes, SARS is again a comparison that a lot of people resort to. If you look at it, though, the fatality rate is a lot lower, but then again, coronavirus is actually a lot more contagious. So comparisons in some ways are a bit tricky. If you also look at the fact that China's economy was a lot smaller, but it was growing at a faster rate compared to what it is now. So these comparisons are actually complicated by these facts. It again depends on how the other economies are responding to it too as well, because the experience of SARS actually prepared certain economies a bit better than the others to be able to respond to the challenges that they're facing because of coronavirus.
So when we look at what you say, it sounds very negative. What are the factors that would stop the global economy from sliding into a recession?
Emerging economies, effectively, they still are, even if they slow down, the growth rate in these countries, such as India, Malaysia as well, even Indonesia, is relatively high enough to support global growth from completely treading off a cliff.
So what kind of mitigating actions have you seen by the different governments in the region that you're observing, and which work and maybe aren't working?
So for instance, a lot of people say Singaporean government took very good actions, and they actually... So if you look at the statistics, Singapore was this country besides China to have the highest number of cases in the early weeks. But that's because the government encouraged people to go for testing. They encouraged employers to actually provide business continuity plans at work. They encouraged a lot of other measures as well. They provided a lot of financial support to employers as well, and make sure that the victims or the medical patients would get leaves of absences. For certain countries, well, not so much. For instance, Hong Kong just, you know, dealt with it in a different way. But in general, people were already a lot more cautious because they experienced the SARS. A lot of prism is also directed towards South Korea and Japan, where cases have blown up just rather much more recently because they didn't take enough preventative measures about travelers from China, or especially in the way Japan handled the cruise ship case, because they chose to quarantine everyone on the cruise itself.
So, but in terms of options that are available to OECD central banks, given that interest rates are near record lows, is quantitative easing an option?
I would say that's an actual option only for a few of those central banks, because a lot of the other big economies, such as Japan, ECB or BOE, they already have been going through quantitative easing for quite some time. The only ones where I would say they have to go to resort to quantitative easing might be Reserve Bank of Australia. Bank of Korea, for now, at least have some more room before they cut until they have to resort to quantitative easing.
And some countries are discussing the possibility of restarting a manufacturing base because, you know, China has been the global powerhouse in terms of all the supply chain. Do you think this is economically feasible?
To be fair, this would be ideal if they do diversify. And a lot of this has already been put into motion because of the trade war. So, yes, ideally, it would be great to diversify supply chains. But your question about being economically feasible, that's something that is going to be spread out over a lot, rather medium or long term. So the impact of these factors would be hard to judge and ascertain over a short term.
Now, Wakas, while we have you, I wanted to get your take on how foreign markets view Malaysia moving forward, particularly after this change of government that we've seen happen over the past week.
Absolutely. Now, again, the whole world has been surprised with how the whole political issues have unraveled in the past week. And Mahathir bin Mahathir, even though he's a fairly senior politician, you can never expect him to retire so easily. Yes, the whole world does not view the situation positively, and it's more to do with uncertainty rather than anything else. In the media, in the short term, yes, that will put investors away for at least the time being and make them wonder what would the future economic policies look like. But if you think of it, any of the commitments that have already made for investment will still carry on. A good example, for instance, you could compare to would be Thailand, where in 2013 and 14, we saw a lot of political issues and the coup. Investments didn't drop, but you only saw the impact over medium term, where you saw growth teetering off towards 2018 and 19. So if the issues in Malaysia don't resolve soon, then you might see the impact of this flowing into at least medium term as well in terms of Malaysia's growth prospects.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Wakas. And that was Wakas Adenwala, Asia analyst at the EIU, talking to us a little bit about the economic impact of the coronavirus, as well as his view on Malaysia in the wake of all of this political turmoil. Now, we're about to head into some messages, and then up next, we're speaking with Ahmad Yazid Othman, CEO of the Malay Economic Action Council, or MTEM, on what the new Prime Minister's economic priorities should be. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.